Dynamic duo. Get ready, get ready. I wanted to set up this clip. It's a little longer than my normal clips, but today we're dealing with a topic that is so important that I wanted to make sure I didn't leave anything for chance. The young man in this video paints a picture of what life looks like out of focus and how the Lord can do a miraculous thing in and through those of us who avail themselves to him. We're ready.
I just find so much beauty in nature. I think that's why I love traveling and exploring new locations, because I'm just so grateful to get to see all these amazing places and things. I mean, and I don't claim to be good at photography or anything like that, but I enjoy taking a camera with me and all these trips that I go on. And I try and take as many photos as I can, because it's just like, I just want to be able to take a picture and be able to go home and look at that picture and feel the same way that I did when I was actually standing there. And of course, I've never been able to do that, because it's like, after all these photos I've taken, I'm slowly beginning to realize that photos can only reflect an image. It can't capture an emotion. Growing up, you know, I heard all these things about God, and I would read all these Bible stories, and I would hear all these other people talking about Jesus and Christianity and stuff. And through all these things, I kind of created an image and an idea in my head of who God really was. And none of it was from personal experience or anything like that. I would just let these stories and these things that I grew up hearing kind of paint this picture of who God really was to me. Until this one day, out of my desperation, I wholeheartedly cried out to God and I said, God, if you're real, I need you. And what's crazy was God actually showed up and I experienced this life-changing moment with my Creator. And it was like my whole life up until this point, I was looking at God through a picture. Because when I experienced God for the first time, I realized that my shallow perception of my Creator couldn't even begin to break the surface of His greatness. And it's like, I don't want to just look back at these pictures and see these things and places, but I truly enjoy actually being there and experiencing it. And now knowing that I'm not just looking at God through a photograph, but I'm actually in an intimate relationship with my Heavenly Father, my life now has more purpose and meaning. Because it's hard to have hope when you don't know the one who gives hope. And it's hard to have peace when you can't call on the one who calms the storms. And it's hard to have joy when you don't know why on earth you were created. And it's hard to really show and know love if you don't know the one who loved you first.
Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Please stand with me and grab your Bibles or your devices. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Thumb down to verse 12. And there you'll find these words. Please make sure that you have a sermon note card with you. If you don't have one, the ushers will be more than joyful to assist. Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12, we find these words. Not that I have already reached the goal, or am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it, because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. I want to put a tag on this text and preach from this subject. One word, focused. Now, before you take your seats, look at your handout. I had a little grammatical challenge. The British spell focus with two S's. So I guess I'm a little British today. So you may see it with one S or two, depending on how I felt at the moment. Amen. But I want you to know I understand the spelling. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we love you. We thank you for this tremendous privilege that you have afforded us. Father, I pray that each of us would see clearly on today. In Christ's name we pray. Let everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Our message moment opens us up on today with these thoughts. In this new year, we must gain or regain our focus upon God and his purpose and will for our lives. In this new year, we must gain our focus. Some, we have to regain our focus upon God and his will, purpose for our lives. One of my absolute favorite movies of all time is The Matrix. God bless you. The Matrix is a phenomenal movie. It was cutting edge when it came out in 99. It told the story of this virtual reality that the entire world was in. Every living being was tapped into the Matrix. In this particular scene that I'm speaking about, Morpheus, who was the liberator of this small area within the Matrix, he has just extracted Neo from the Matrix. He has taken Neo out of the virtual world. And he has placed Neo in the real world where people were actually living. As Neo sat in the presence of Morpheus, he had a grimace on his face and he began to rub his eyes, trying to focus. And then Neo communicated to Morpheus this statement. He said, "My eyes are hurting." To which Morpheus responds to Neo. He says, "Your eyes are hurting because you've never used them before. Your eyes are hurting because you've never used them before. Neo, you've been in this virtual reality, and all that you've seen is what you want to see. But you've never caught a glimpse of reality. Why? Because you've been caught up, Neo, in the Matrix." Many of us in the faith are like Neo. We're unfocused. We've yet to develop a clear vision for our lives, spiritually, physically, financially, or otherwise, because we've never used our spiritual eyes before. Hope y'all are hearing me so far. And as a consequence, we simply receive from life whatever we bump into. Maybe I'm preaching to myself. So whatever person you bump into, that becomes your boo. Whatever job you stumble upon, that becomes your job. And as a consequence, all that we know and all that we have experienced are the things that we've stumbled into, not fully understanding how a clear vision for our lives could actually change the destination of our lives. See, when our vision is unfocused, we miss God's best for our lives, and we end up settling for stuff that we bump into. Preach, Pastor Brian. And so when I watched the video of the young skateboarder, I saw clearly many of us, we've taken the picture of God that's been passed down generationally, but we've never actually developed it for ourselves. So we're basically looking at God through the visual lens of somebody else. I'm here to let you know, child of God, you got to develop the picture for yourself. I love what my grandmother implanted with me. I love what my grandfather implanted within me. I love what my parents implanted within me. But every single one of them told me, you got to receive him and you got to see him for yourself. Help me, Holy Spirit. So maybe you're quiet because of the next question. How's your focus? How's your focus, Stephen Brown? Do you feel that you are unfocused? At times, do you feel distracted or divided? Write that down. How's your focus? At times, do you feel distracted or divided? Distracted or divided. See, some of us suffer from spiritual ADD. Oh, I wasn't talking about you, but God bless you. I'm just joking. Spiritual ADD. We just can't seem to land and stay focused and committed with anything related to God. We've had 4 or 5 churches in the last 4 or 5 years. Don't look at me like that. In and out of relationships. Job after job. Just spiritual ADD, and we can't seem to get our bearing. See, it's hard for us to focus on life and on purpose, let alone God's will for our lives. Why? Because we're easily distracted. And I can testify, like many of you, I live probably 5 to 7 years of uninterrupted distraction. Am I by myself? Y'all hearing me this morning? Uninterrupted distraction. I allowed for everything I bumped into to dictate my life for that season. How's your focus? How's your focus? Are you distracted? Are you divided? Secondly, does your life purpose seem incomplete? Get that down. Does your life purpose seem incomplete? Do you find yourself in the quiet moments of your day wondering, is there more for me to do? This feeling of things unfulfilled, and the grade you give yourself is an I. Incomplete. All people, believers included, have moments where life seems unclear, unfulfilled, even lost. For the believer, life was never intended to be a scavenger hunt where we wander through life hoping to discover why we're here. Through Christ, child of God, we have our purpose, which is to glorify him by serving others. Y'all kind of quiet. Help me say this. Say, to glorify him, by serving him or others. Amen. To glorify him by serving him. After Paul's conversion experience found in Acts chapter 9, he realized how purposeless his life had been. See, Paul, like many of us, had focused upon status. Everybody say status. Paul was more concerned about who knew him, who knew his name, and who knew where he came from, than he was concerned about how God could use him. He was most concerned about his status, keeping his reputation up, keeping his name out there with people talking about him. Look at verse 4 of chapter 3. He says, although I have reasons for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he has grounds for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. Regarding the law, a Pharisee. Regarding zeal, persecuting the church. Regarding righteousness that is in the law, blameless. Paul was all about status. And as a consequence, watch this. He was more concerned about what he did as opposed to what he did for God. And so he got caught up in his religious zeal and literally walked out of God's will for his life. But then he discovered something. With all of the status that he pursued, Paul discovered that status only leaves us seeking. Look at verse 7. He says, but everything that was gained to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of him, Paul says, I've suffered the loss of all things and consider them as dung so that I may gain Christ. Paul thought his pursuits were right. And here is a principle I want to give you based upon verses 4 through 8. Here it is. You can live your life doing the wrong thing for the right reasons. And ultimately find yourself unfocused. You can live your life doing the wrong thing for the right reasons. And as a consequence, one day you can open your eyes and discover that you are unfocused. So in our text, Paul is testifying about something in particular. And we'll just call it his life pursuit. Get that down. His life pursuit. Just a glance at verse 10. Once he gives all of his status, all of his reason, all of his accolades, all of his bragging points. He calls all of that stuff dung. It's waste. But he says it is waste because of verse 10. Paul says, I want to know him. I need you to catch this. Paul has forsaken all that the religious folks said he should hold up. He says, I don't care about my tribe. I don't care about being circumcised. I don't care about the nation. Paul says, all of that stuff is waste. What really matters is me, Paul, getting to know him, Christ. See, when you got your pursuit right, everything else falls in alignment. And see, what happens to us, we have everything else up front, and our pursuit to know Christ is in the background. It's in the foreground of the picture. Watch this. Out of focus. Paul says, I want to know him. And what I love about Paul is he doesn't just say, I want to get to know him. Paul says, I want to get him so intimately that I understand his death, burial, and resurrection. That I understand the reason why he came. That I understand his mind so that I can be conformed to that image. And this is where our topic of focus comes into play. Paul says, I want to know him. I got to get to know him. And then he goes in verse 12. He says, but I don't want to fool anybody. Paul says, listen. I really want to get to know him. I want to be just like him. But I'm not there yet. God, I hope y'all are hearing me this morning. Paul said, I ain't there yet. He says in verse 12, not that I've already reached the goal or am already perfect. So I want to help somebody real quickly because you're like, Pastor, I can identify with Paul. I'm unfocused. As a matter of fact, I don't know how I made it to church this morning. I don't know how I walked and sat down. I'm just completely unfocused. When I look back over my life, this last year has been a blur. I would have you raise your hand, but that's okay. It's just been a blur. And as a consequence, I'm trying to figure this thing out, which is why, Pastor Ben, I'm giving you the first quarter of 2019. If you don't help me, I'm going somewhere else. I feel the pain. I feel the uncertainty. Why? Because I've been there. But Paul says in verse 12, listen, I have not reached this goal yet. Here is a testimony. If you run across anybody who testifies that they have arrived, you keep running. I want you to get ready to write. Paul understood, catch this, Paul understood that purpose is a process. Help me, Holy Spirit. Paul understood that purpose is a process. In other words, it takes time. Paul said, listen, I ain't made it. But Paul is basically saying, I'm not where I want to be. This is an easy shout right here. When I look at what I can do for God, I've not maximized my potential. I'm not where I want to be. But let me finish the testimony by saying, but I ain't where I used to be. And there's some stuff back here about Paul, about Stephen Brown, about you, that you could probably bring against me. But let me tell you something, I ain't that no more. And if you're looking for me there, you're not going to find me. Why? Because I'm here, I'm in process of pursuing my goal and my purpose. So who am I talking to right now? Listen, I need for you to understand something. Paul's like, listen, I'm still striving, I'm still climbing, I'm never settling. That's what I need for you to embrace for 2019. It's a process. Pastor, I want to be able to see clearly. It's a process. Paul helps me with that. So Paul said, listen, I got a list of stuff I'm trying to get. But Paul said, I'll be honest with y'all. I've not made it yet. Now let me give you a little extra nugget here. If the man who wrote much of the New Testament had not arrived, let yourself off the hook. I'm not saying give up, but let yourself off. Give yourself a little slack. If the man who actually talked to the Lord Jesus audibly, having been knocked off of horse, a light shone in his face, went blind for several days, was healed and had those scales removed, empowered by the Holy Spirit, preached and planted churches, wrote much of the New Testament, and then he said, I ain't made it yet. I need for you to let yourself off the hook, because oftentimes we give up because we don't see the results we want to see. Child of God, you keep striving, you keep moving forward, and you watch what God does through your life. Can I get a witness right there? Paul understood that purpose is a process, but not only that, secondly, Paul understood that discipline is essential. Help me, Holy Spirit. Paul understood that discipline is essential. Look at the B clause of verse 12. He says, but I make every effort. Stop right there. Pause. I've not arrived, but just because I've not gotten to the point that I'm trying to reach, I don't want to give the false impression that I've given up. And Stephen Brown's problem is, when I don't memorize the whole Bible in 2018, I stop reading the Bible. Y'all ain't going to help me up in here. When I'm not able to quote all of Philippians from memory, I stop reading scripture. And see, we put these unrealistic goals on us, and then when we don't reach them, we quit. I believe you can honor God with your body. Come on, talk to me, single folk. I believe married folk can be utterly committed to each other and honor their covenant. I believe that. Oh, I ain't got no help up in here this morning. I'm preaching to myself. I believe a church can be unified by the power of the Holy Spirit. I got some big dreams of stuff I'm believing God for, but Paul says you gotta be disciplined. Paul says, listen, I am making every effort to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. So not only, Paul says, I understand that it's a process, it takes time. He says it takes discipline, and that's essential. It takes effort. We cannot stumble into destiny. Oh, God. Y'all, you can't slip into purpose. And so many of us are basically rolling the dice with our spiritual future. And however I feel for that season, that'll just determine what I'm doing for the Lord. You have to be disciplined. You have to know what God is trying to say to you and through you. Here is discipline. Doing what needs to be done, when it needs to be done, as well as it can be done all the time. Doing what needs to be done when it needs to be done. Doing what when it needs to be done. As well as it can be done all the time. And so many of us, if we're honest, we're kind of sloppy with that. We do what we feel like doing when we ain't got nothing else to do. Amen. If we get around to it, We'll go through. We don't even proofread no more. We just do what we want to do. Just you'd have a lot less apologies if you just proofread. Amen, somebody. When Polish pianist Jan Pietrzyński played before Queen Victoria, he won her enthusiastic approval. "Mr. Pietrzyński," she exclaimed, "you are a genius." He shook his head. He said, "Perhaps, Your Majesty, but before that, I was a dump." And he was referencing the number of hours he spent practicing every single day. See, that opportunity that you get to display what God has done, that is simply an overflow of what you already been doing privately. So if you want the main stage, you're going to have to come to rehearsal. Y'all, so many of us want the spotlight. We'll even take the low light, but we don't want to come to rehearsal. We don't want to put in any work. We just want to show up and do our thing. And the Lord is like, that's not how I operate. The Lord is saying, that's not what I bless. I bless those, watch this, who make every effort. Paul understood that purpose is process. Paul understood that discipline is essential. Thirdly, Paul understood, this is so good, that being focused facilitates forward movement. Paul understood that being focused facilitates forward movement. Verse 13, Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it." He again reiterates the fact that he has not arrived. "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead." Paul understood that being focused facilitates forward movement. Somebody say forward. Forward. Come on, say forward. Forward. Stop allowing your yesterday to hinder your tomorrow. There is not a person under the sound of my voice who has not made the most ridiculous mistake known to man. Every single one of us has made at least one of those mistakes. And I said at least one. Y'all ain't talking back to me today. But let me tell you something, child of God. There is nothing that you can do about the mistake you made yesterday. The only thing you can do is repent of it and learn from it and keep moving forward. Some of us, the only stuff we talked about is stuff in the past. Good or bad. We live backward. when the Lord is calling us forward. Corrie ten Boom puts it this way. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Paul says it's about forward movement. And notice what he says in the text. He says, listen, I'm going to no longer be held by what is behind me. But you got to know that what is behind you is still trying to hold on to you. Oh, God, y'all got to know that. Them folks that know you from back when, every time you see them and shake their hand, they hold on a little too long. I ain't got no help up in here. Those that are behind, I'm going to say you're behind. Those that are behind you are still holding on to this day. But Paul said, listen, I'm not holding on to them. I'm not allowing myself to be held back. So I don't know who I'm talking to right now. I hope I'm getting all of y'all, but I need for you to know something. Your purpose is so important. And it's time for you to start moving forward. Don't let anybody guilt you into what you didn't do before. If you can make amends, make amends. Get it right. Make it right. But don't you allow them to hold you back to your preferred future. As I studied this passage, it was so reminiscent of my study of Mary and Martha. In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, it says, while they were traveling, he, Jesus, entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted, somebody say distracted, by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So you tell her to give me a hand. Verse 41, the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. But one thing is necessary. Somebody say one thing.
One thing.
Come on, say one thing.
One thing.
Paul just said, this one thing I do, say one thing.
One thing.
But one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. Martha is like us. We preached this Mother's Day. Martha is like us. We are so distracted with the past. We're so distracted with details that we're missing when God is speaking. We're missing when God is trying to get our attention. We're missing when God is trying to pour purpose and pour destiny into our lives. Here is the principle. Martha had God in her living room, but she was in the kitchen. Oh, God, I wish I could preach it like I feel it. You got Jesus right in your very presence, but all you're worried about is what you used to do, what you used to be. God is trying to take you to a whole nother place, but you got to press. You got to press, you got to press, you got to press. Verse 14, and we'll wrap it up. He says, listen, I pursue as my goal. I press toward the mark. I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Pastor Brown, how am I going to improve my focus? You got my attention. All right, I get it. I get it. It's process, discipline. I got it. Forward movement. I'm with you. But even right now, Pastor Brown, it's a little blurry. And I'm looking, I can't seem to get my focus. First thing is this, beloved. You have to be clear about your goal. Get that down. You got to be clear. I can't give you purpose. But here's what I need for you to understand. It's not a scavenger hunt. Either. Paul says, I pursue as my goal. You got to be clear about your goal. You have to see it. You have to envision it. Well, Pastor, when is that going to take place? When you spend some time with him. Right.
I preached this 365 days ago. And some of us are still unfocused. It's not a scavenger hunt. All you have to do is ask. James chapter 1 helps me with that. He says, now, if any of you lacks wisdom or direction or guidance, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting. For the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded and unstable in all his ways. So don't go to God asking God, God, I want you to show me my purpose. But if you don't want to, it's okay, because I don't really know it right now. But if you want to show me your purpose, Lord, show me your purpose. Because if you don't want to do it, that's okay. That's fine with me. I keep doing what I'm doing. But if you want to show me your purpose, Lord, I'm all in. But only when you want me to be all in. I don't want to really be all in. But if you want to show me, Lord, you can show me. But if not, it's okay. And if you want me to, I'll do what you want me to do, but only if I have time for it. Lord, I'll be about my purpose if it fits my plan. But if it don't fit my plan, Lord, then I'll catch you in 2020. Because, Lord, I got some stuff I got to do. But, Lord, you got to be clear about your goal. You got to see this thing. You have to see your preferred future. Some of us have given up on the power of God to manifest himself in our lives. We've given up. There's nothing more horrible than for a saved individual to give up on God. I'm talking to everybody under the sound of my voice. You don't even see what God can do in your life anymore. Why? Because you keep doing what you keep doing. God is trying to take you to another level of existence spiritually. Speaking, and all you doing is looking back at what you used to do. Looking back at how you messed up 2 years ago. Looking back at how you messed up 10 years ago. God is like, I brought you to this moment to give you something greater. So pastor, help me. If I'm gonna be clear, what do you advise me to do? Number one, you gotta pray for it. This is margin notes. You got to pray for it. Just like James, you got to ask. You got to pray for it. Watch this. You got to wait for it. This is simple, y'all. Don't go to sleep on me. And then you got to look for it. Oh, I like that by myself. You got to pray for it. You got to wait for it. Then you got to look for it. Oh, God, I feel this. See, some of us are fasting for deliverance. Others of us are fasting for direction. Oh, but it doesn't matter why you're fasting, just as long as you're submitting to God's will for your lives. Oh, pray for it. Wait for it. Look for it. Y'all, my list is getting so long. There's some stuff I need from God. There's some things I need from God, for myself, for my family, for other folk. And my list is just, it's being crystallized moment by moment. And let me tell you something. Y'all ain't gonna know how to act when I come up in here shouting when the Lord has blessed me to receive that I have specifically prayed for. Now, I got enough Holy Ghost sense to know that I pray according to his will. But I'm praying for his will to be manifested on my list. So I don't want to write it down if he don't want me to have it. I'm feeling this. Somebody say, be clear. But not only be clear, we're finished. Secondly, you got to be committed. Be committed to your goal. Beloved, you're going to have to seize it. I'm not making this up. This ain't naming nor claiming. This is verse 14 right there. Paul says, watch this. I pursue. I press. And listen, he is pursuing or pressing, trying to get something. Y'all ain't feeling me up in here, but I'm feeling it myself. Paul is pressing. He is pursuing because he understood that the acquisition of what he longed for would not be handed to him. He'd have to go and get it. Child of God, stop sitting back waiting on God to just put some. You got to put some sweat equity in this thing. You got to put some prayer equity in this thing. You got to put some scripture reading equity in this thing. Oh, God. Stephen Brown, when you're committed to your goal, you ain't got no time to be evaluating other folks' goals. That was for free. See, the meaning behind pursue lends itself to a lion stalking its prey. You got to have that nothing but death will keep me from it mentality. Oh, y'all feel that. Y'all know the color purple. You got to have that in your spirit, that tenacity that, Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Lord, I'm not going to stop praying until you change my prayer list or give me my prayer list. Is there a witness in the house that can testify, Lord, I may have given up before, but I ain't giving up no more? Paul Harvey, a journalist, because I know what you're thinking. I keep messing up, Pastor. Paul Harvey says this. He says, tell us the secret of your success, Paul Harvey. What is it about you that's elevated you into these higher heights? Paul Harvey said this, and I quote. He says, I get up when I fall down. That's it. Good afternoon, child of God. May the Lord bless you real good. But on my way to heaven, I stopped by Greater Bethlehem to testify that I'm going to press toward the mark to win the prize, for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Is there a witness in the house that can join Pastor Brown and testify that I'm going to press? Well, Pastor Brown, what is it you're pressing for? I'm pressing for the prize. I want to get what God has for me, not for you, but for me. Am I by myself? Don't you want what God has for you? Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. That'll sing forever of his saving grace on the streets of glory. Let me lift my voice. Cares are past. Home at last. Ever, ever to rejoice. Give him some glory. Give him some praise. Let him know that you love him. That you trust him. That he can do what he wants to do. Come on and bless the Lord up in this place. Come on, saints. Come on. Hallelujah! Glory! I need about 50 of y'all to testify that I'm going to press. Come on, 50 of y'all say, Pastor, I'm going to press. I'm going to press to that fast. I'm going to press. I'm going to pray. I'm going to press to do what God has called me to do. I'm not going to let my past hold me back no more. I'm going to press. Come on, give God some praise up in here. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Before we move, everyone stand with me if you're able. Everyone stand real quickly. I simply want to close this time out in prayer. I've talked about praying and fasting and pursuing. I've talked about all of that stuff. And many of us, we're a little traumatized. Pastor, I just want to come to church, hear a little word, and go home. I don't want no homework. Pastor, you're going to make me drop this class. But our theme for 2019 is fit to finish. And beloved, we got to get fit. Yes, we do. We got to get fit. Now, we've not even started a series yet, but the five areas of fitness: spiritual, emotional, relational, physical, financial. We want to be in a position to be fit in these areas. And you're not going to get there with your willpower. As a matter of fact, your willpower is going to let you down. I'm here to tell you. I'm a living witness. You're not going to get there with your intelligence. You're not going to get there with your pedigree, whatever you bring to the table. That's what Paul says. All that stuff is waste. But you're going to get there with some intentional
and submissive prayer and fasting. And that's why this is so important. Some of us have been borrowing trouble from years past. And we can't see ourselves clear. It's just so unfocused. This is your chance to get clarity. This is your opportunity to experience the Lord like never before. Now, I ain't promising you wealth or health. I ain't saying you're going to get a car after the end of the 14 days. I ain't saying you're going to get a husband or a wife. I ain't saying none of that. I ain't saying your blessing coming around the corner. None of that. But what I have declared to you is if you do the work, God will give the increase and the blessing. I want you to catch that. But God gets to determine the blessing. We don't. Now you lay your list out and you say, Lord, I need you this. I've been battling this area physically. I've been battling this area relationally. I've been battling this area financially. You lay those things out. And however you choose to fast, social media fast, TV fast, going out to those dark places fast. If you go a Daniel fast, a complete total fast, a juice fast, whatever fast you choose, the time and energy that you would have put into going those places, you spend that time with the Lord. And you watch the Lord begin to do some stuff in your life. Stuff that money can't buy. I'm talking about joy, peace. You know what I'm saying? Purpose. I'm talking stuff that my Amex can't do nothing with. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff I need from the Lord. If you can buy, that's not what I want. I want what the Lord can give me. Now, I'm not saying don't give me no gifts. But what I'm saying is, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, oh Father, this is real. Father, we have to admit that at times we're just unfocused. Father, we just kind of taking our images from previous generations. We haven't gotten them for ourselves. And Father, we need for you to deposit within us a clear vision, clear direction, clear purpose for each of our lives. And Father, partnered with the purpose, Lord, we're asking you by faith for deliverance and direction. Lord, many of us have stuff that we dare not tell a soul. But God, we're so grateful we can cast our burdens upon you, Lord. We're so grateful that you're faithful, that you listen, that you dispense grace and mercy and truth into our lives. Oh, God, we thank you so much. So, Father, right now, we just pour ourselves out to you. As we consider embarking upon a 14-day spiritual movement. Wow. Lord, it's petrifying to many of us. But Father, honor our obedience. Honor our willingness to just take a step of faith without the answers, just trusting you. And Father, do whatever you choose to do during this season. I pray for every home represented at Greater Bethlehem Baptist Church, that every home would be unified, that every family would be on the same page, and Father, that collectively we'd embark upon this movement together. Help us, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Let everybody say amen.